Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Today on The Charlie Kirk Show, I ask the question, are there more reasonable people or cultural arsonists in America? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, so email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider, hit subscribe, and please consider supporting our program at charliekirk.com/support for $10, $25, or $50 a month. Busy news day. Listen to our sister episode. This episode in particular, we go through two news stories that no one else is telling you. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Do the decent people outnumber the cultural arsonists? Is America and our very unique way of life worth preserving? Or do our sins count so heavily against us that we must start over and form something unproven, uncertain, and assuredly dangerous? Do we want to be a country that believes in families, or do we wish to create a country that is so full of our own pride we believe we can create something new to replace this 2,000-year-old institution that we know as Western society? Now, when I talk about Western society, the origins of Western civilization are thousands of years old, but this small little experiment of freedom of speech, individual rights, rule of law, it really started with the United States of America in 1776, the Declaration of Independence. Written in 1776 was our birth certificate, the laws of nature and nature's God. And this should really ask the question of what does it mean to be an American? Are we a country of guilt-ridden cultural pyrotechnics? Or are we a civilization that looks to the past for inspiration to create a more stable and free tomorrow? It's a very important word, stable. We as conservatives don't talk about stability enough. We do talk about freedom quite a lot. But it's really hard to have freedom without stability. Now, too much stability can be a bad thing. That's called prison. Prison is awfully stable, unless you get involved in a prison riot or someone tries to kill you. But the idea of prison is you get three meals a day and you have no freedom. But you actually can't have freedom if you do not have stability. In Chicago, there's no freedom. You must stay at home because the vigilantes and the criminals and the terrorists walk the streets at night. In Portland, there's very little freedom because BLM Incorporated has decided to take over the entire city as their terrorist petri dish. As I have postulated previously, this race of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump and Mike Pence is not normal. All polling, precedent, and previous predictions by prognosticators must be thrown out immediately. Instead, a broader picture must be constructed, asking fundamental, very basic questions. Our current system, especially in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Florida, Arizona, and other battleground states, they are demanding a candidate do a couple of things. Number one, be able to do a normal television interview. Joe Biden cannot do that. Number two, defend the traditional way of life. Number three, articulate a vision for the country that will ensure a better life for themselves and their children. Now let's focus on number two, defend the traditional American way of life. What is that? We've talked about this quite a lot on our program. I want to thank those of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support to get this message out. Millions of people have heard it. But the American way of life is you generally do not have to worry about losing your life on the way to work. That we actually have a generally peaceful country. You can defend yourself, defend your family with a firearm of your choosing. You can work hard and play by the rules and see your life materially, spiritually, socially, and culturally improve. It means that you can believe in big ideas and see those ideas defended, hopefully by your government and your politicians. The American way of life means that if you're really upset with somebody, you can go to the ballot box and change leadership, you can change direction, you could change the way that laws and public policies actually passed. The American way of life means that we can agree to disagree, that just because you might have a different idea doesn't mean that you should lose your job or be punished for that. The American way of life is now the question of the 2020 race. So currently, this race is flipping upside down in real time. This race is increasingly, we're talking about the presidential race, in my own estimation, appearing like a two-car race where the lead car just blew a tire and the car right behind it is just hitting its stride. Now, the car behind it is President Trump's campaign. Now, as things are trending, it's looking more and more competitive and likely that President Trump will have a narrow race and a path to victory come into November. I'm going to articulate that even more later in this program and also in our sister episode today. We must take a second and pause and recognize first how much the president has had to endure so that he's able to protect the American way of life. Remember the FISA scandal? And still no people have gone to prison to date for spying on the president illegally. The Mueller investigation and the Russian hoax. Almost going to war with Iran. Barack Obama undermining President Trump at every single corner. A failed impeachment scandal where they did impeach the president but unsuccessfully removed him from office. Having to deal with the Chinese coronavirus and China's aggressive moves and lying about their nefarious behavior when it came to the virus. Dealing with leakers within the White House like John Bolton, Omarosa, and many people up and down his entire staffing structure. And then they all try to create backstabbing best-selling books where they use the access that was granted to them by the President of the United States, granted generously, and then they go try to sell a best-selling book on the access that was given to them. And how about the Republican Party betrayal? People that ran for Senate positions with the president's endorsement. They didn't say one bad thing when they ran for the United States Senate position, like in Utah. They took the president's endorsement in full stride, only to then become the number one anti-Trump senator in the entire Republican Party, Mitt Romney. The fact that President Trump is still in this race, as closely as he is a true testament to the remarkable tenacity of the person of the president, and also something that we have discussed at great length before, that President Trump is a reflection of the spirit of the country. You see, the American ethos, unlike the French or even the Chinese national ethos, is toughness. If I had to put the Chinese Communist Party ethos, it is lie, cheat, and steal until your enemies disappear. The French ethos is probably more about camaraderie, taking time off, and enjoying the pleasures of life. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Michel Foucault, and Jacques Derrida talked at length about this. But the American ethos is toughness. This is a theme, and I'd love your thoughts on this theme. Please email me at freedom@charliekirk.com. America is tough. Trump is tough. This idea of toughness, this idea that no matter what you throw at our nation, we can persevere through it, is something that I think the president needs to lean on that even more. We are a tough nation. We don't actually accept losing very well. We don't like being beaten down. Instead, we look at the next day as a chance to pick up ourselves when all other forces might be against us and improve on what happened before us. And that is where I think Trump is at his very best. Some people might call this relentless. I think a good term for this is anti-fragile. I didn't come up with that term. A phenomenal best-selling book was called Anti-Fragile. Some people might call it unwavering or refusing to quit. You see, the president's magic, the reason why I think he's going to be so tough to beat down the stretch, and why I think he's going to be one of the best late-breaking candidates in American history, is no matter what you throw at him, his capacity to persevere, to endure that level of stress, is completely and totally remarkable. And so the question really is going to be, what is the American way of life and what is trying to threaten the American way of life? And in this episode in particular, I want to hear from you. I want to hear your thoughts on this, freedom@charliekirk.com, on what you believe Donald Trump needs to do more of in order to secure victory against Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. The best five ideas our team on the Charlie Kirk Show are going to compile, put together, and we're going to mention them in an upcoming episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. And if they're really good, I might just tell some important people that might be able to do something about it. freedom@charliekirk.com. So I want to focus on two stories in particular. These two stories should be in the main national news conversation and narrative of our country. One in Virginia and one in North Carolina. When Donald Trump argues to defend the American way of life, he means dramatic, systemic changes to local institutions that have generally worked is inappropriate and being driven by BLM Inc. for the demise of Western society. I've been waiting to talk about this story all week. I've been chomping at the bit for the right opportunity and the right opening to speak about this. Judge Nolan Dawkins in Virginia released a rapist despite prosecutors pleading for a no release. The rapist, Ibrahim Bouachi, then went and shot his accuser, Carla Elizabeth, right after he was released. This is all because of Judge Dawkins, who conveniently retired in June, and he was given a retirement parade by local individuals in the Alexandria region. Here's how the Washington Post wrote it up. The incident in Carla Dominguez's apartment last October was violent, and it was not consensual, she testified in Alexandria District Court in December. The man she accused, Ibrahim E. Bukhani, was indicted on charges including rape, strangulation, and abduction, and jailed without bond in Alexandria. Then coronavirus pandemic hit. So then on April 9th, despite the objections of an Alexandria prosecutor, Circuit Court Judge Nolan Dawkins, they released Bukhani on only a $25,000 bond, with the condition that he only leave his Maryland home to meet with his lawyers or his pretrial service officials. Now, because hardened criminals like Bukhani followed judges' orders, just like they followed the law, right? As soon as he was released, he immediately returned to Alexandria, Virginia, and hunted down his accuser, Carla Dominguez. So if you're a young woman listening to this, and a person rapes you, and then you testify to put that person in prison, in Kamala Harris's or Kamala Harris's America or Joe Biden's America, that person might be released on $25,000 bond. He then hunted her down, shot her, and killed her. She did not have to die. And her blood is on the hands of the newly retired judge, Nolan Dawkins. Now, what's even more stunning is upon his retirement, Judge Dawkins received, as I mentioned, a 100-car parade because he allows rapists out of prison early because he's worried they might get the Chinese coronavirus. Now, here's one question I have. If masks truly work the way that they tell us, why didn't they give Ibrahim Bukhani a mask, socially distanced prisoners, instead of releasing him back into society? Carla Dominguez is dead. She's dead because a judge wanted to destroy Western society and civilization. Judge Dawkins. Judge Dawkins, honored by local officials with a 100-car parade, they're going to name a back alley after him, according to the Alexandria local news service. He roamed free, hunted down his accuser, and killed her. You probably didn't hear that on the network news. You probably didn't hear that from Joe Biden or Senator Harris. Of course you didn't. Now, this is not an isolated incident. In California, nearly 18,000 inmates are set to be released under Governor, who's a tyrant, Gavin Newsom's order. 18,000 inmates. If you live in California, go buy a lot of firearms to defend yourself and your family. It is not safe. There are people that are going to be prowling the streets. There are people that are going to be hunting down young women, and they are coming out of the prisons at record rates. And this is not hyperbole. I just gave you an example of someone who was raped. The justice system did its job, and Ibrahim was in prison with no bond. A liberal leftist activist judge who hates America, wants to see it burn, releases Ibrahim. Ibrahim is released and goes and kills his accuser. This, of course, all comes as Democrats in Joe Biden's party are aggressively pursuing my pastor and good friend of the Charlie Kirk Show, Pastor Rob McCoy, for simply holding church. So pastors are going to prison, rapists are going free, and innocent children are being murdered in the streets. Here's another story I do want to mention. A stunning new investigative report reveals that Biden campaign officials funded a radical left organization in Minnesota that paid tens of thousands of dollars to bail out violent criminals out of jail, including a serial rapist, domestic abuser, a murderer, and a would-be cop killer. In May, at least 13 Biden campaign staffers donated to the Minnesota Freedom Fund, which pays bail fees for women who commit crimes. Of the 184 people set free from jail by this fund in recent months, only about a dozen were involved in the protests or riots, according to the fund's director. The rest are regular criminals. Some of them are extremely dangerous. How about Christopher Boswell, a serial rapist? This is the party of Joe Biden. This is what Joe Biden wants. Boswell is currently charged with sexual assault, kidnapping in two separate cases, and assault. He's now out on the street, thanks in part to Joe Biden's campaign. How about Darnika Floyd? After allegedly stabbing a man to death in 2008, Floyd was charged with second-degree murder. Now she's out on the streets, thanks to Joe Biden. How about Donovan Boone? After being freed from jail, Boone failed to show up in court, and a warrant was issued for his arrest. He was in jail for breaking into his ex-girlfriend's house, attempting to strangle her. Now he's a violent fugitive, thanks to Joe Biden and his campaign. How about Jaleel Stallings? During the Minnesota Minneapolis riots in May, Stallings tried to kill police by shooting at them with a modified pistol that looked like an AK-47. He's now back on the streets, thanks to Joe Biden and his campaign. This is now the status quo of Joe Biden and the Kamala Harris campaign. This tells you everything you need to know. This is just further proof that you and your family will not be safe if Joe Biden wins. Go buy as much ammunition and firearms as you can. And even in the environment that Joe Biden Democrats harbor, the environment that would become the rule as opposed to the exception, we're seeing that Americans still aren't safe due to the unmitigated terror that Democrats are endorsing. Democrats oversee the great American terror. How about this story? This is the American way of life under attack. On Sunday, 25-year-old black man, Darius Semmons. This is one of the most unbelievably outrageous stories I have seen recently. And you probably haven't heard about it. This story should be front page news. But instead, we're worrying about BLM Incorporated and how awful you listen to this podcast might be. 25-year-old black man Darius Semmons murders a 5-year-old, Cannon Hinnant, who is white, in Wilson, North Carolina, in front of the boy's two young sisters. So here's what happened. Darius Semmons, a black man, 25 years old, goes over to his neighbor and sees three children playing in the yard. 5-year-old Cannon Hinnant and two young sisters. He goes and shoots the 5-year-old at point-blank range in front of his sisters. This is a tragedy, no matter the races involved. But you're smart. You know that if the skin colors were reversed, if it were a white shooter and a black 5-year-old boy, it would be national news, plastered on every paper and every activist meeting program. It would be at the forefront of Joe Biden and Senator Harris's presidential campaign. In fact, they would have mentioned it in their debut as running mates. Yet you probably have never heard the name Cannon Hinnant, and you probably never will again. After this episode, you'll probably never hear it, and it hopefully doesn't go back into your memory. But you've probably never heard of the name Sakoria Turner, the 8-year-old girl who was shot in Atlanta after crossing over a BLM Incorporated barricade next to a burnt-out Wendy's. 8-year-old girl. The activist media is intentionally covering up slaughters of young children at the hands of criminals. It's no longer about black lives or innocent children dying. Remember, their outrage over kids in cages, they don't care about that. It's actually never about what they say it's about. It is a backwards Orwellian exercise where if they're accusing you of something, you better believe that they are the ones that are actually doing what they say you are doing. So this is the question that I've been wrestling with in the last couple of days. Are there more reasonable people than pathological, emotive, cultural arsonists? I do understand and I admit that there will be people that go and vote Democrat this November. But after all of this, after the things I've just talked to you about, after the murder in the streets after the early releases from Bond, after 18,000 criminals from California being released because of the Chinese coronavirus. Can you process 60 million people voting Democrat in November? That's what's going to happen. This election is going to be tight. And almost guaranteed 60 million human beings are going to vote for the party that embraces and endorses all of these ideas. That is the question that is yet to be answered. And I don't think we have a good answer to that yet. Are there more reasonable people than cultural arsonists, people that want to live a normal way of life? That's the message that President Trump has to deliver to this nation. It is him on his shoulders where Western civilization rests. You see what the Democrats are doing in California, what they're doing in Virginia. Criminals will be released. More and more innocent women and children will be hunted down and will be killed. The American way of life is you can live a stable and peaceable life so that you can flourish, build a family, accumulate a little bit of wealth, and extend your values for generations to come. That is now severely under attack due to what the Democrats and the radicals are embracing and advancing. They think they are closer than ever to their radical power grab. They really do. They think that they are getting closer and closer to being able to implement their sinister and backwards and malevolent worldview. Email me your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Make sure you listen to our episode yesterday. Just one word, Kamala, one of our best performing episodes we've had in quite a while. Check it out. It is a comprehensive takedown of Senator Harris. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com, tpusa.com. And if you guys want to win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe, give us a 5-star review. But better yet, if you guys want to have your ideas spread at the highest possible level imaginable, email us your ideas for President Trump. We are a tough nation. We are a nation that can endure anything that is thrown at it. And right now, the greatest threat to our nation is not even China. It is the American left. The greatest threat to our nation is the early release of prisoners. It is the lawlessness of our streets. It is the breakdown of civil society. It is the incapacity to be able to defend yourself. And it is decent and reasonable people under assault and under attack at record rates. Donald Trump is the last thing that stands between us and chaos, discord, disunity, and anarchy in our country. And I could tell you, a lot of people that I know that used to be Democrats, they are waking up to this. Do your part. We're going to talk about more about this, especially in our sister episode. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you soon. God bless.